Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 5. I desire that we read in our first reading this afternoon from the beginning of this chapter 10 verses. Luke 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came, and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. And now before our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees and in our hearts pray to the Lord. O Thou Holy One, Thou All Gracious One, Lord God Almighty, Thou art exalted in Thy heavenly kingdom, and the worship and the praise that is offered unto Thee to glorify Thy holy name is not offered to anyone else, and only Thou art worthy to be exalted, to be honored and glorified, O God. And yet in Thy great goodness and mercy Thou hast desired to be worshipped, to be loved, and to share Thy love in the hearts of the people that Thou hast redeemed in Christ. Thou hast given us, O Lord God, this message from heaven, this blessed gospel for the salvation of our souls, the good news, the joyful news, and even though that this measureless and beyond estimation of great value treasury is despised, rejected, and even among those that profess faith in Christ, often neglected. Thou art revealing, O Heavenly Father, that there is no other way of salvation, there is no other truth, there is no other message, just as there is no other name but the name of Christ given to us unto salvation. And because Thou art so loving, so gracious, so merciful, so patient and kind and so helping, O Lord, we bow before Thee to worship Thee with love and gratitude. We desire, O Heavenly Father, from our weak hearts to offer an offering unto Thee, for Thou art worthy, O Lord God Almighty. To Thee belong our life and living soul and body, mind, and our whole being, O Lord. All our desires and the striving of our pilgrimage all belong to Thee. Therefore we pray, O Heavenly Father, forgive us when we often take of Thy time, of Thy gifts, of Thy blessings, and waste on worthless things of this world. Gracious Lord, Thou purify our thinking, our emotions and affections. Thou sanctify us by Thy truth continually and make us a vessel for the honor and glory of Thy holy name. Only Thou hast that grace. Only Thou hast that wisdom and that power to make us, even us so small and so weak, usable in Thy service and prosperous in Thy ministry. Only Thou, O Heavenly Father, art our reliance. Our only hope is in Thy goodness and mercy. We thank Thee, O Lord God Almighty, for Thy goodness and mercy is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. We thank Thee and we praise Thee for the salvation in Christ, for the fellowship of love and understanding that Thou hast blessed us with. We thank Thee, O Lord God Almighty, for the revelation of Thy truth and for making us aware that there are many more things to learn and that we have not yet reached the goal, that the perfect example of our Lord and Savior is far ahead of us, and yet in Thy grace, in the fellowship of Thy Spirit, Thou art with us. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, may our soul ever magnify Thy holy name, and our heart praise Thee with love and gratitude, and all that is within us, O Lord God Almighty, may our life and living be only Thine. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, make us strong in this holy faith. Fill our hearts with love. Grant us that blessed hope to keep us in expectation of Thy coming, O Lord. Thou make us a good example of true godliness, a living testimony of Thy grace working and preparing us for the heavenly kingdom. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, bless this holy word of Thine and reveal to us Thy truth. And Thou teach us, O Heavenly Father, patience and endurance. Teach us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Teach us to serve Thee and to honor Thee in everything that we do. And Thou grant us such a spiritual awareness, such clear understanding of Thy will, that we keep ourselves from being at any moment in any place that we would not like to be on the day of Thy appearance. Thou keep us from doing anything that we would not like to be doing on the day of Thy coming. And Thou keep us busy in Thy ministry, O Lord, and teach us to search Thy holy scripture to find whatever is holy, whatever is just, whatever is righteous, whatever is pure, whatever is honoring and praising Thy holy name, O Lord, that we may offer our soul and body upon this altar of the holy faith as a living sacrifice of deepest gratitude and the highest reverence and respect of Thy glorious name, O Lord. Thou bless our prayers. Thou bless our praises. Thou sanctify our charity, O Lord. Thou make us faithful and fruitful, that those that are seeking Thy light may see the light and come in, that they may knock at the door of Thy mercy, which Thou art willing to open widely to those that seek Thee and trust in Thee, O Lord. O Heavenly Father, we pray for that glorious and wonderful healing power that turned us from sinners into Thy children, that moved us from darkness to Thy light, that transferred us from the hopeless struggle and from groping in darkness to the path of salvation under the rod of Thy Good Shepherd, our blessed Redeemer. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that that healing power be applied to the friends, that they may haste to save their souls, that they may not delay, that they may not long for the past, that they may not look to the world, but that their eyes be set up upon the heavenly places, that their treasure also might be there, where Thou hast prepared for us the treasure that will never be damaged, stolen, taken away. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou grant that true faith and that godly fear, and Thou, O Lord God Almighty, bless them with abhorring every evil, forsaking, despising, and rejecting all the vanity, nothingness of this life, and seeking that heavenly treasure. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, save Thou the lost, heal Thou the sick, raise Thou the dead ones, strengthen Thou the weak, deliver the oppressed, encourage the distressed. Thou make us free from vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, bitterness, wrath, envy and vengeance. Thou make our souls free from ignorance, doubts and fears, and grant us that full liberty in Christ, that peace and joy that is the pretaste of the heavenly glory. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, lead us Thou and teach us. Make us Thine own, only Thine, for only Thou art our God, our Creator, and our Savior. To Thee belong worship and praise, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. With the help of our Heavenly Father, I desire that we continue our reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5, and the verse number 11. And let us read 6 more verses with the help of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5, verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. This far I desire that we read in our second reading from this chapter 5. As we have read the beginning of this chapter, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and there were two ships standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. the Lord entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land, that he would move the ship away from the land, so that between the Lord, during his teaching, and the people that are listening, there would be some short distance, so that not only those that are right next to him, but also the others that are a little bit further away, sitting on the ground, probably those that are in the fourth, fifth line, could also hear the gospel. We see here that the Lord did not interrupt the work of the fishermen, that the ship was empty, and probably when the Lord stepped into the ship, that Peter, if he was not there already before, that he probably came and asked the Lord how he could be of any service to him, or chances are that Simon Peter and his brother Andrew had helpers, workers, laborers, other fishermen that were washing the nets at the same time, and that Simon Peter, perhaps Andrew also, were free, or they were in the company with the Lord. So the Lord entered into the ship, and Simon Peter moved the ship a little bit further away from the shore, and the Lord sat down and started teaching the people out of the ship. Why were we given all these details? Something even more interesting, we don't read here. What was he teaching at that time? Probably that teaching was recorded or has been recorded in some other book or other books of the gospel. But at this place in this chapter 5, it seemed that the manner and the way the Lord was teaching was important. He, the Lord, did not use a special hall, cathedral, some place that was especially prepared for that purpose. He used what was at hand. That ship was for catching fish. It was a tool, a piece of equipment, something that the fishermen used for their business. And the Lord is revealing to us that our business has a greater value than just producing money or income for a living. The first and the greatest value of everything that we work here, eating, drinking, clothing, shelter, business, rest, everything, the first and the greatest value of that all is to proclaim the gospel. So we should do everything in that manner, that our life and living would proclaim the word of God. So when the teaching, when that sermon or the lesson that the Lord was teaching the people was ended for that time, the Lord is now going to give a lesson to his disciples. Also, not by many words, but by deeds. The Lord said to Simon Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Simon answering said unto the Lord, "Master, we have toiled all the night." Well, this tells us something about Simon. Simon Peter was not ordained an apostle. He was not yet one of the disciples that was constantly, all the time, walking with the Lord and following the Lord in every place, in every deed, during every sermon and so on. Simon Peter was a fisherman. He and his group were working throughout the night, and they did not catch anything. They were tired physically and psychologically. You know, even if they were not tired physically, they would have been quite disappointed by not catching anything. The whole night of work for nothing. Simon Peter must have been very tired. But the moment the Lord came and entered into his ship, Simon was ready to serve the Lord, to help, he offered hospitality. But now we know that according to the human evidences, our Lord Jesus was a carpenter. He was not a fisherman. Simon Peter was a fisherman. And if there was anyone that knew something about fishing, that should have been Simon and Andrew and James and John. And probably it was a good method of catching fish to drop the nets and to try to catch the fish during the night. And yet, by those approved methods, they caught nothing. Now the Lord comes and asks that they try again. And Simon Peter says, "We labored throughout the night and have taken nothing." But the Lord did not answer to Simon Peter, "Oh, if that be so, then try some other time." Now the word of God was standing. The word of Christ remained. The Lord did not add anything as far as we can read here. So Simon Peter added something. "Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." And so they did. They lowered the nets into the water and started pulling the nets. I'm not quite familiar. I don't know much about fishing with the nets. But I think I did see on some lakes those nets are very long. And along the top edge of the nets are the floating things that keep that net just close to the surface of the water. And along the bottom edge are heavy weights that keep the net down. And so with one or two, sometimes even more, boats or ships, they would spread the net, pull it through the water, and close the ends. And then with the strings they would pull the bottom part, and that bottom part would squeeze together and the net would be closed. Then they would pull the top string and close the top, and then the whole net would be like a big bag. And all of that could be done for nothing, or could be done for the fish that got caught into the net. The moment they started pulling the net, they noticed that the net is filled so much that the net could not hold all the fish. I wonder what is the message of this. First, we see plainly and clearly that if the Word of God is suggesting that we do something that is contrary to human reasoning, contrary to human practices, methods of doing the business, if the Word of God is instructing us to do something at a time that seemed not to be the right and proper time, the Word of God is right, and human customs, practices, reasoning, and traditions, everything is secondary or worthless or worse than that. So they did obey the word of the Lord, and there was a multitude of fish in the net. Why did the net break? Well, physically, talking in the, so to say, earthly dimensions, it's easy to understand. There was just too much fish. But what might be the teaching of that lesson? I wouldn't be quite qualified to give a perfect answer, but I think that in this world, as long as we are in this world, and as long as we want to serve the Lord, there is always much more than we can accomplish. There is more to be done than we can do. So, if we listen to the Word of God carefully, we are not going to be idle. if we obey the word of God, we are going to be very busy. Now, being busy in God's ministry, in God's service, often brings our way difficulties, suffering, animosity. Often we are going to be despised and almost regularly rejected in this world, and yet serving the Lord also brings joy and peace that nowhere in the world we can find. And those that serve the Lord together also have a great joy in one another, and among those that are following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is love and peace. But those are the things that our enemy would try to deprive us of. He is constantly laboring to tell us that some our personal pleasure or some selfish desire or some human pride is more important than his service. But the word of God is plainly revealing that that is false, that we should not believe that, and that we should join our hearts and hands in the Lord's ministry. So they called for the others, their partners, and then later on we see that the partners of Peter and Andrew were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they came and helped them. And that's another very practical thing to do, that we should help one another in serving the Lord. We also should help one another in every need, as long as we can do it. And every one of us should be looking for an opportunity to be helpful, because by helping one another we share that Christian love. By sharing that love, we multiply the love in our hearts. The love is increased within, and the joy becomes greater. The greater is the love, the greater is the joy, the lesser is the misery of this life. The life becomes, in spite of all the difficulties, become very interesting, very exciting, and there is that joy that, as I just said, is not found anywhere in the world. I never had that experience myself, to pull a net filled with fish out of the water. But I imagine that it's quite an effort. And I think in serving the Lord, we often ought to use a lot of effort, a lot of strength that only the Lord can supply. Serving the Lord is not just something that can be done carelessly, without any suffering, without any concern. Lord's service is a very serious thing. On the other hand, it's the only way of living for true Christians. So they called for their partners, they came, and together they pulled the net, and they picked up the fish from the net into the ships, and the ships were loaded with the fish so much that they started sinking. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, this is not denying hospitality. This is acknowledgement of his unworthiness to be the host of such a guest, such a visitor. If such a great load of fish was to be appreciated, if that was a blessing from the Lord for these fishermen, because that was their way of living, their income. Then we can conclude that by receiving this blessing, by receiving from the Lord this abundance, Peter realized more than before that he is not worthy of the presence of the Lord. And perhaps that is a lesson for us. So many, at least in my limited experience, I've seen so many believers that the moment or during the years when they experience God's blessings, when the things are going in a desirable way for them, they forget that they are unworthy of the Lord's presence and they somehow give credit to themselves. And it's a dangerous way. It's a wrong attitude. It's a sign that the enemy is very near. And that enemy will not miss his opportunity to cause damage. Simon Peter and his group, his partners, James and John, altogether they were astonished. Because that what happened was contrary to their expectation. Perhaps fishing in the night is more successful because in those shallow waters or sweet waters, fish probably can see the net and can escape by the daylight, which might not be so easy or possible in the night, I don't know. But in any case, they did not expect to catch so much fish, and they were astonished seeing that this is not an ordinary thing, that actually what happened is a miracle that the Lord did for them to reveal to them that He is the Son of God and that He has brought the message from the Heavenly Father. So, when Simon and Peter fell down on his knees before our Lord and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord," our Lord answered, "Fear not." So obviously Simon was afraid. And then the Lord said, "From henceforth thou shalt catch men." It was to Simon a clear message. He was invited to become an active, or to use modern language, full-time disciple of the Lord. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. A new way of living started for these disciples of the Lord. Now I wonder what their parents were thinking or feeling about this. I don't remember reading anything about the parents of Simon Peter. I don't remember if we find anywhere that he had a family other than his wife. Chances are that they had children. Chances are that they had old parents. His wife had a mother. We read later on that they came into the house of Simon Peter and his wife's mother was sick and the Lord healed her. How did that mother accept the fact that Simon Peter is not going to be a man taking care constantly or continually of their household, but he is going to follow the Lord and proclaim the gospel? We know that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, had their old father Zebedee. How old was he? How good or easy, how light or easy was that for him or difficult and unacceptable perhaps to be left without his two sons and to continue this business of fishing alone. Those things are not recorded here. Why? Because the gospel was so important that everything else was not important. So they started going from one place to another, and from place to place the Lord would be proclaiming the gospel, teaching the people, inviting them to accept that year of Jubilee, year of liberation from all the difficulties, from every yoke, from their debts, from the things that they could not make themselves free. This year of God's grace, the day of salvation, now being proclaimed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would make them free. And it came to pass, when the Lord was in a certain city, it seemed to be that at this point it's not important which city that was. It could be just about any city on the face of this earth. Of course, our Lord was preaching within the borders of the land of Judea and Galilee, and sometimes on the outskirts, perhaps in Samaria, which in the past times was the land of Canaan, or the land, the kingdom of Israel. So in a certain city, a leper full of leprosy, that means that leprosy covered the whole body, face, hands, feet of this man, his neck. Everything that was exposed was covered with leprosy. It was an awful sight. But not only that. For this man to enter into a city was a very dangerous thing. He could have been stoned to death. Because, according to the law of Moses, a leper, if he was walking through a place where the other people were, he had to cry, to shout, unclean, unclean, so that no one would come near to him. The life of the lepers was a very difficult thing. Somehow this leper managed to go through the city. How hard was it? How difficult? It's not mentioned here, but we can know for sure it was not. Him saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." This man knew that nothing and no one else can make him clean. That awareness and the experience of that miserable, awful life in dying of leprosy made this man so resolved, so determined. He is going to reach the place where the Lord is. He is going to ask. And so he did. And what is the answer of the Lord? "I will. Be thou clean." This is a universal answer for every leper, for every sinner, for every person in this world that comes with the load of his sins, with the multitudes of his or her problems, to the Lord, and says in his faith, "If thou, Lord, art willing, thou canst make me clean." And the answer of the Lord is same for everyone that come to him with faith. If the cleansing, the healing depends only on the will of the Lord, it's done. "I will. Be thou clean." The same moment the leprosy departed from him. I never saw a leper. I only read about that in books. I've seen some pictures.
and it looks awful.
What was the feeling or the impression, the experience of the people around looking at this man's face, that at the moment when the leper came, his face was covered with leprosy. It was white like white ashes. The skin is falling apart, peeling off. It's death. It looks so awful. And at the word of the Lord, everything is changing, and his face become healthy, and he's not a leper anymore. Now that the disciples that watched that must have been more astonished than when they caught so many fishes in their net and filled their ships. But what was the experience of this man? Probably the first desire of this man was to go right back to his family, or to go back to his friends that kept him alive during the years of his leprosy. You see, lepers would starve to death if someone would not bring them regularly food. They had to live outside the city, in holes, in dens, in caves, or in abandoned, forsaken buildings, cottages where no one else wanted to live. Their life often was more difficult than the life of wild animals. But somebody had to take care of them, probably either close friends or more likely close relatives, would daily bring food to the lepers. And the food would be left in a certain place, and then after the gift giver would depart, the leper would come and pick up that food and use it. They may not come close to one another, and especially they may not touch one another, even if they were brothers, sisters, parents, children, or no matter how close. They just cannot help one another. They can only spread leprosy and make it worse. If the helper gets leprosy, who is going to help? The helper becoming leper needs help. He cannot help anymore. He cannot return to live with his family and with his people anymore. So, what happened? This man is clean. I imagine that the first thing he would like to do, to go right back to his helpers, to those that made his misery less miserable, those that helped him without hoping ever to receive any reward from him for their charity. But that was not the thing that the Lord said. The Lord charged him to tell no man. No, you don't jump for joy, you don't leap happily and tell everybody, I'm cleansed. No, you go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. There is a procedure and there is a testimony to be given before this former leper, now cleansed and probably healthier than the priest to which he is going to go, before that former leper can be officially proclaimed to be clean. You see, the first relationship or the first step of healing and cleansing is between the leper and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then afterward, between this leper and the officials in his community, and then finally within his community, he can live at peace, in joy, because the Lord was so merciful to him. And so, as the Lord was doing these miracles, a fame went abroad of him. That name, Jesus of Nazareth, was spread throughout those regions, from city to city, from town to village, from place to place, wherever there were Israelites. A great prophet is risen, and the Lord has visited his people. So multitudes came together to hear, great multitudes, to hear the gospel and to be healed by him of their infirmities. What was the answer of our Lord to this change? He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prayed. He said, "I and the Father are one." And yet he prayed. And how he prayed. When we read that, chapter 17 of the Gospel according to St. John, what a prayer. Every verse is a sermon. Every word is so meaningful. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prayed. How much more should we pray? The battle that is won in prayer is victorious in reality. Satan would like us to be tired of our praying. And if we will not give up praying, he will try to distract us so that we say the words of our prayer and think something else. And if that will not work, he will try to make us routine in our prayers. We'll just repeat the same words from every morning, every evening, and whenever we pray, and mean nothing. But when we have difficulties, when we have problems, when we are struggling, then we really pray. You know, perhaps this is mentioned more frequently, and yet I think it's meaningful. When Peter talked to the Lord from the ship that night and said, "Lord, if it is thou, say that I come above the water to thee." And the Lord said, "Come." And Peter stepped out of the ship and he was walking in the air. And the waves are threatening from every side, but Peter is walking. But then at one moment, he doesn't look at the Lord. He looked at the waves and started falling into the waves. That time, there was no time for formal prayers. Peter shouted, "Lord, save me." And the Lord did. When the Lord saved him, he rebuked him. Not because he cried for salvation, but because he did not keep his faith. Often in our life, we may find ourselves in a situation that we don't understand. Why would that have to be the way it is? Why so many difficulties? Why the good things are coming so slowly? Why the evil is being so multiplied? Why are we not more successful in our endeavors? And many, many whys. Well, we will never understand everything. And even when we think that we understand something, it's a good question if we really do. Perhaps we never understand everything completely, and perhaps it's not important for us to know everything. The most important thing is to trust the Lord, to believe the Lord, and to continue in prayers, and then to live according to His holy word. There is so much more to be said from this short passage that I read, and yet the Lord has His own language. The Lord can speak to every heart. He can send the rays of His light to every mind and give to every soul exactly what that individual soul needs. And this is my prayer and the desire of my weak heart, that our Heavenly Father would bless His holy word, and that as we read the scripture, we may learn this holy gospel not only intellectually, not only to know the verses, not only to know the words, but to understand the meaning and then to apply that meaning in our daily walk, that we might be blessed in serving the Lord and united in the fellowship of His Spirit, so that our pilgrimage, even though it might be difficult at times, would be sweetened with that Christian love and peace, with that joy of His salvation, with the thrill of being used in His purpose, in His grace. And to our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from all our hearts, thanks and praise and honor and glory forever. Amen.